You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, Vic Carucci coming to you from Radio Row, Super Bowl 48, Midtown Manhattan. Nathan Zagura back in Northeast Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we're looking to get another guest who stopped by here, and this is the way it works. And, of course, now he's in a conversation with someone else, not another interview, but I don't even want to tease it because I just want to make sure he's going to slide over here. But he is in the midst, engrossed in a conversation, and that's how this happens. You walk around Radio Row, and you cross paths with somebody, and that's how it goes. But we hopefully will be delivering that. We are going to deliver you Gerard Cherry in a little bit, and we want to hear from you if you want to dial us up, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Your tweets are welcome also at Browns_daily, so be sure that you're connecting with us that way as well. Those barks and growls from the pound are always greatly appreciated.
Yes.
And want to get into all that. All right, so Nathan, I'm getting, you know, and you're seeing this too on social media, different people kind of talking about what the Browns might do with a quarterback and in terms of the draft, and you hear different takes on it. And I think to a great extent, people are saying, well, you know, if there's any chance to you know, get Johnny Manziel, you certainly want to do that. If there's any chance to get another quarterback, with obviously Kirk Cousins' name has come up. Now, he's not available, last I heard from the Washington Redskins, but if Kyle Shanahan could bring him along, that would be great. By the way, the guest we are going to bring along, and I stalled just enough to get him aboard here, is Woody Page from ESPN and also from the Denver Post, and you know him from around the horn. Woody, first of all, welcome to the show.
It's great to see you, Vic, and you and I seen each other about 8,000 times at these
roughly
types of events.
give or take. We've gone back a long way. Lots to talk about with you, but I want to start out with this. Your book has just come out, and it's called Woody Page. I love this title. I'm almost out of CHA. The word is going to be chalk, and it's Woody Page's Chalkboard Tales, the foreword by Tony Reale. Let's talk first of all about what this book is all about.
Well, over the years, people have said, why don't you take those chalkboard sayings, and let me back up. Jim Cohen, who's head of network programming at NFL Network, mm-hmm. was vice president of ESPN. He hired me about 13, 14 years ago to work at ESPN. When I started doing Around the Horn, and I was in New York City for 3 years, I put up a blackboard because I had a blank wall behind me. Because if I'm sure you've watched the show.
Yeah, the backdrop.
There was always a newsroom in the back.
Yeah, the Denver Post newsroom.
Yeah, when they moved me to New York and I went to work for them full time, I just had a wall. And so my assistant and I said, let's put a blackboard up and put saying Jay Mariotti stinks or something like that. And that's how it started. Well, about 3 months later, Jim Cohen, who was, as I said, vice president of programming at ESPN, called me and said, lose the blackboard. That makes no sense. It's not ESPN. That's not professional. And I went, okay, we were just having fun, which you know me long enough to know I just have fun.
You like to have fun.
A week and a half later, he called me back and said, put the bleeping blackboard back up, because they had gotten so many calls.
Sure.
So over the years, people said, I've forgotten what the blackboards were, sayings, and would you put out a book? I was in New York, and I thought, nah. I was in New York months and months ago, walking down the street with some people, and a homeless guy came up to me, and he said, my name's Maurice. Would you give me a few bucks? And I gave him a dollar. And he said, you're the guy with the blackboard. He's homeless. I said, you're homeless. How do you know? And he said, I just watched you for the last 10 years in prison. And he said, every day I would write down the blackboard
quotes.
Because he was a captive audience, literally.
There you go, literally.
And he said, why don't you put out a book? I'll buy it. And he said, how about some more money? And so I gave him $5. And as I was walking away, I said, hell, let me put out a book.
And well, so you inspired him, and you know, and this thing's already selling very hot on Amazon.com. You might owe that guy a cut. You better find him somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. We were shocked that the paperback actually came out. It's been on e-reader on Nook and all iTunes, all that stuff. But the paperback came out this week, and the publisher, who is down the street here, New York, Vigliano and Associates, called me and said they've already Amazon's already sold out all of its books, so it's in the second printing. And
awesome.
I was shocked by that. But anyway, we're
I'm here almost
for the Super Bowl.
Out of Woody Page's Chalkboard Tales. You can again get it on Amazon.com and wherever great books are sold. All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl. You've covered John Elway through his entire career as a player. Now he is the president of the Denver Broncos, and Woody, it just seems like, and look, I don't know if it's just low expectations, but a player, especially the high-end accomplished players, you don't always necessarily expect great things when they move into a different role that just doesn't have to do with that great physical talent that they had. Dan Marino didn't work out for him with the Dolphins. With John Elway, here he is, short time after taking that team over, great success, win-loss record, and now his team's in the Super Bowl.
You're absolutely right. We were talking in the bar here the other day, and someone said, you know, that worked out for John Elway. And I said, yeah. Remember when Ted Williams tried to manage and that didn't work? Bill Russell was successful as long as he was coaching Bill Russell. When he went to Seattle and was a general manager there, and you can go down the line, Marino, as you said, quit after like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you think about all the quote superstars who went into management or, in a lot of cases, coaching. Larry Bird, I think, broke a mold because he knew how to approach it. Magic Johnson, though, was a coach, and that didn't work out. So in terms of John Elway, when the Josh McDaniels mess was happening in Denver, not working out, I wrote a column that John Elway should be brought back to return a good reputation to the Denver Broncos. He had, and people laughed, and actually an executive from the Broncos, and he wouldn't admit it today, said to me, that would be the worst mistake we could ever make. John Elway, he's playing golf. He has no history in the NFL. Well, this is what's odd. He actually had owned and run a team in the indoor football
right,
league.
Right, Arena League, yep.
Yeah, and it became a champion. So he knew that. His father had been a coach and a personnel guy, Jack Elway. And the third thing, Jack had really talked to him after he got out about getting into personnel. And they told me, both of them told me a story about their scouting Drew Brees out of Purdue. And John said, guy's too small. He's not a quarterback. And Jack said, John, if you're going to do this, you've got to learn to look into the heart of a player. And he said, that kid has more heart than anybody coming in the league. And John said he learned more that day about players that you have to go beyond leaping and jumping and stuff like that.
Sure.
And Drew Brees, we know what's become of him. And John said that moment really helped him. The other thing is John had owned like 50 car dealerships in Denver. So and that he wasn't a figurehead with his name on the car dealerships. He actually, with a partner, ran them, sold them to Auto Nation, the guy that owned the Dolphins and the
right Marooney, I think was the
He sold
or Huizenga, I should say.
Yeah,
Wayne
Huizenga,
and then it was
And he made a fortune off that, so he was well off. So anyway, Pat Bowlen and John Elway, after I wrote that column, got together, and that day Pat Bowlen went back and fired Josh McDaniels and said to John, "I want you to run this team." And you can see what's happened. That John had applied things he'd learned in business. He had applied what his father had taught him about player personnel. And here they are in the Super Bowl in Denver. Buffalo and Denver, and you have an extensive background in Buffalo, both went through those Super Bowl periods where they go and lose to superior NFC teams. And I think that his time as a player, and I don't think anybody believed that they could come back so quickly, but something fell into their lap, if you will.
Right.
And that was Peyton Manning. And Peyton Manning went to Denver because John Elway was there. And you know, did a lot of things, but he felt very comfortable. When John met with him, he said, you know, I've been there, and I've been old, and I, you know, wanted to go to the Super Bowl. And he said, I'm not going to sell you. I'm going to say, if I were in your shoes, I'd go home and think about it. And he said, if you want to come here, we're here for you. And Peyton really liked that approach, unlike when he went to Arizona and they had helicopters and parades and stuff like that. And Peyton's not that kind of guy. He liked, ooh, I can hang out with John, not hang out
no,
with him.
But it's a real football situation.
And so he felt comfortable with John Fox, and that worked out. And Peyton Manning is one of the great comeback stories in the history of football. But, you know, like a running back at the Vikings. I mean, you had two great stories at the same time.
Talking with Woody Page from the Denver Post. Woody, Nathan Zagura checking in with you from Ohio. And I know you wrote a story for the Denver Post saying that Peyton Manning becomes the best quarterback ever if he wins the Super Bowl. What it would be the perception then if he doesn't win the Super Bowl, and just how big of a game is this for his legacy, in your opinion?
I think it's probably the biggest game of his career. I think winning one Super Bowl was what people expected of him. When he lost the Super Bowl, people started talking about his postseason record and his failures. And I approached him before the season started, and I said, Peyton, your memory, your legacy is going to be, you are the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. He chuckled, and he said, that's not a compliment. I said, it's not meant to be. And so he will, if Vic would agree, he's the greatest regular season quarterback we've ever seen.
No question.
You know, 13 out of 15 years he's gone to playoffs, won divisions, won double-digit victories and everything.
Yeah.
But 1-1 and 1-1 in Super Bowls, now 10-11 in playoff games. This could bring him to 500 if he were able to win this one. I think if he wins this, you look at the body work. And I was telling somebody yesterday, and they said, how can you say that if he wins this, he's the greatest of all time? Montana. That Troy Aikman won three. And nobody talks about him being the greatest of all time. The Johnny Unitas legend and Dan Marino's arm strength and John Elway comebacks and winning two. And I said, I have examined this for the last 6-7 weeks, and this is not a homer decision. Vic, you know me enough to know I'm not a homerish kind of guy.
No, you're not.
But you and I have covered sports for so long, and I look at basketball and you go, who is the greatest basketball player of all time? Well, the guy that had more rings than anybody was Bill Russell. Maybe the guy who had more talent than anybody was Wilt Chamberlain. And the guy, though, that you'd say the greatest, I think everybody listening would say the greatest basketball player of all time was Michael Jordan. Why?
Sure.
Because he was.
One, yeah.
Who was the greatest hockey player of all time? Gordie Howe had all of those championships. I would say the greatest hockey player of all time was Wayne Gretzky. Why? Because he was. Mm-hmm. And what did they have in mind? In my mind, there was Babe Ruth, and there was Hank Aaron, and there was Willie Mays. And I think Willie Mays was the best of all time because he could do it all, defensively, offensively, run the bases. And so in my mind, he's the greatest of all time. The point about Peyton Manning, if he wins this one, when you look at regular season, MVP trophies, two Super Bowls, and revolutionized the game at quarterback. And that's the point, I think. You look at every college quarterback, practically, so many pro quarterbacks who are pointing at middle linebackers and saying, he's the guy. That was invented by Peyton Manning, if you will. And you go, well, that's a minor thing. Yeah, he's the guy who got up the line of scrimmage and then backed off. He did hurry-up offense. Yeah. Kelly did it in Buffalo, but what Peyton does is the hurry up and wait offense,
right,
where he comes up, no huddle, and then backs off and looks at everything and sees and examines the field and then decides whether which play. And one of his offensive coordinators, Moore in Indianapolis, said he gave him three plays and you pick which one. Well, that's kind of the deal right now, that he is still calling the plays on the field. They give him some, you know, option, multiple choices, if you will, and he looks at the defense and decides. So I think the revolutionary aspect, look at college football teams, and what always amazes me now is you see the college football teams come up the line of scrimmage, they stop and they turn and look at the coaching staff.
Right.
And they give them a play.
Yes.
And in the national championship game, Auburn was holding up signs that had pictures on them or something,
yes,
if you remember that. So I think he's revolutionized the game. Win one more Super Bowl, that's my feeling that the legacy is completed.
How about in Bronco perspective, having covered all those great Bronco teams that you did in all the years, Dan Reeves was there, John Elway was there, and they were losing Super Bowls, but they were still this dynastic type of team just for their general success. Then they win those two at the end of his run with Mike Shanahan as head coach. So Reeves, Shanahan, now we have John Fox there as coach, and in a short amount of time doing what they're doing. Just give me a sense of this Bronco team maybe compared to the other ones you've covered and where this one kind of stands? Do you put this one at the top of the heap? Does winning Sunday do that for them too as a team?
I think so, because then you culminate the greatest offensive season in the history of football. I look back, and Bill Romanowski is wandering around here. He was on those teams in 97 and 98. And if you look at it, those defenses were very average. That was not a defense you remember like the Steel Curtain,
right,
that you covered. That was like the Dallas Cowboys doomsday defense.
Yeah.
Even the San Francisco's defenses when they were winning. This defense is not that great. It's been playing well. So what makes it special? This actually reminds me of the 1996 Broncos that got upset by the Jacksonville. I thought that was the best team. But what made those last two? Terrell Davis. And he won't get into the Hall of Fame because he had
too
a runner for like
career.
five years. And you and I were on the Hall of Fame. We know what that's like. And people look at that and they say, you know, just what if he'd have played five more years or maybe even three more years.
Right.
But the knee devastated. Guy was MVP in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
He was the difference for John. If no Sean Marino comes through as he has over the last 5 or 6 weeks, then I would say this is a better team than that. But right now, I would put the 97 team. John and I says they're comparable.
Okay.
He's being diplomatic.
Yeah, well, he's sure. Woody, this was tremendous. Thank you so much for taking the time. You've been a great friend for many years, and I wish you nothing but the best in everything you do. But especially now, Woody Page, his book. I'm almost out of CHA. Woody Page's Chalkboard Tales.
It
is. I got to explain because there's a picture of chalkboard. It's a very simple cover, but it gets the job done, and I'm looking forward to diving into this. Again, Tony Reale of ESPN does the forward. Woody Page, you catch him on ESPN Around the Horn. You can read his great work in the Denver Post, as I have for many years. And we have got much more coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci here, Nathan Zagura there, and we've got more for you on ESPN 850 WKNR.